Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your hedge of protection around us. I thank you for your angels encamped about us. Father, I thank you that you have not left us in a situation where we are ever alone, where we are ever without power. And Father, I thank you for you placing your word before us so that we can have confirmation of how you have used your angels in the past and how you use your angels today and how you're going to use your angels in the future in order to minister to you and to minister to your people and to fulfill your purposes in the earth. God, I thank you for you just showing us everything we need to know this morning and blessing us greatly with your word. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Bible and angels. And that is a subject that you don't hear a whole lot about. You might see some things in the movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, what we're going to see today is that God has always established beings who would minister to him primarily and then minister to those who are fulfilling his purposes in the earth. And you'll see that in the ministry of Jesus, life and ministry of Jesus Christ, in the life and ministry of many of the apostles and prophets and others, the presence of angels is consistent. And the active involvement of angels in the ministries and lives of these entities is always present. You'll see that when God brought judgment against people, how his angels were the ones who were directed to conduct that. And you'll also see how God has a strict order. There is a rank, there is an order to the angelic kingdom. This is an order of spirit beings. So these are not people, these are angels. And what you're looking at is that these beings were created forever. These beings after they were created, they were established and ordained to be. So they're not going anywhere. And we have to understand exactly what we're talking about. One of the things that you'll see is there are those who followed Lucifer, the fallen angel, into his plot. They believed his lie to overthrow the throne of God, and they found themselves in a fallen state, just as he did. And what occurred is that you had a third of the angels who were cast out of heaven. What that means is that there are two-thirds, twice as many angels that are serving God than were cast out. And in this spiritual realm, you basically have a battle that is occurring, and men, humans, are in the middle of this, and you have this one-third of the fallen angelic beings, and then you have the two-thirds of the angelic beings who remained in their proper place in service to God. And we see how the fallen angel, Lucifer, the devil, how he was created to be an angel of light. He was the one soliciting the praises of the heavenly hosts for God, And what was occurring is that in the process of soliciting these praises, I believe that he was in the direction of where all these praises were coming from, the other angelic hosts, the angelic beings. And he felt the effect of what that was like and wanted that. He was intoxicated by what he was soliciting for God and wanted it for himself. And, you know, I think as leaders, a lot of times we find ourselves in situations where we are in front of God's people and we are soliciting praises for God. And in the process of soliciting praises for God, we feel how great that is and want to steal a little bit for ourselves, so to speak. Want to take a little bit of that that energy and direct it toward ourselves, as did the angel of light, as did Lucifer. And in the process of him doing that, he found himself in a fallen state that continually is falling and falling and falling and going lower and lower and lower. Now we see something that's interesting in that when Satan comes against man and causes man to sin in the Garden of Eden, his state falls even further because apparently he was in a position where he ate something other than dust and was in a form where he did not dwell on his belly before he touched man. However, a part of the curse that God put upon him as a result of causing man to sin is that he was to eat dust for the remainder of his days, and he was to dwell on his belly for the remainder of his days. And that is an interesting sentence because for such a prideful being of the former angel of light, the fallen angel, to be over these third, one-third of all the angelic beings who were cast out of heaven, he's over them, but now he's on his belly and has to look up at those whom he is in charge of. He has to look up to direct them. And that has to be a special kind of sentence for such a prideful being. And then on top of that, whatever he was eating before, he was replaced with dust. And that it was a sentence for the remainder of his days after he touched man. Now, I didn't want to focus on that, but I want to remind you that the relationship between God and angels is that they are to serve him. They are to minister to him. They are to fulfill his purposes. And man, it says, was created a little lower than the angels. So we have certain qualities, but we are not created as angelic beings are. And well, certainly not as it is. But let's look at a little bit about what the Bible says about angels. It says that angels are supernatural or heavenly beings, a little higher in dignity than man. Angels are created beings. I want you to go to Psalm. I want you to go to Psalm 148. And in Psalm 148, we're going to start reading in verse 1. And it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever." Now, see, you have to read this whole piece here and understand that it's calling to the heavens and the heights and the angels and the hosts and the sun and the moon and the stars of light and the heavens of heavens and the waters above the heavens. And it says, "Praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." So these were all created by the command of God, and it says he also established them forever and ever. So these created beings were established forever and ever. They were created by God, and his angels are among these items here that are listed as being created when God commanded. And that's really, really important to understand. It's really critical to see here where it says that he established them forever and ever. Now, that is, let's read on a little bit more just to get a feel for this. So in 7 it says, praise the Lord from the earth, the great sea creatures, and all the depths. Well, you know, when I look at this, we see how God makes a decree which shall not pass away, and he established the angels forever and ever, in addition to the heaven of the heavens, the waters above the heavens, the stars of light, the sun and the moon, all his hosts, his angels, his heights, and the heavens. So we have to understand that God created these angels for a purpose, for a reason, and that reason, of course, primarily is to minister to him. They are to fulfill his purposes. And I want you also to look at Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, and it's going to help show us a little bit about what God has in mind related to angels and angelic beings, so that we can get a feel for exactly what it is that God is doing here, exactly what his purposes are that are being fulfilled. And in Colossians 1, what we're going to see here is we're going to look at verse 16. It says, for by him all things were created. Oh, you know what? I'm going to start this. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, speaking of Jesus Christ, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So this is speaking of Jesus Christ, but what you see here is it's referring to all things having been created in heaven that are on earth, that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. Now, spirit beings, such as angels, would be in the category of invisible. And all things that were created through Jesus Christ would consist of the angelic beings. So these things occurred. These things were brought into being through Jesus Christ, just as everything else was brought into being through Jesus Christ. Because in 17 it says, and he is before all things, and all and in him all things consist. Really, when we look at the role of angels and the role that angels have played throughout all time in the Word, in Scripture, we want to understand that angels are spirits. And once again, the Bible doesn't say exactly when angels were created, but they were definitely created before man. And one of the things that we want to see is that, or understand, is that angels don't have bodily organisms, etc., etc. They're not like us. They've often revealed themselves in bodily form to man. But, you know, it says once again that angels do not marry. angels do not die. Let's look at Luke chapter 20. And in Luke chapter 20, what we're going to see is what Jesus Christ had to say about angels. In Luke chapter 20, verse 30, it says, "And the second took her wife, and he died childless. Then the third took her, and in like manner the seven also. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died. Therefore, at the resurrection, whose wife..." You know what? This is not what I was looking for. This is the wrong verse. I must apologize for that. That was an error on my part. And, oh, that's what I was looking for. Here it says, okay, this is what I was looking for. And it's Luke chapter 20, verse 34. It says, "Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Nor can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." Now, this is an interesting point here, because this connects to us. Let's look at verse 34 again. It says, "Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead," now that's us, right? "Neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." So we have to look at something that we're moving toward. When we are changed, when Jesus Christ returns and we are changed and we meet him in the air, and those of us who are dead rise from the dead and meet Jesus Christ in the air, we are going to be equal to the angels, and we are not going to die anymore. We're not going to marry. We're not going to be given in marriage. See, this is the beginning of our new being, our permanent estate as the sons of God, and it says here that we will be equal to the angels. So we too will be spirit beings. We will have the ability to travel as they travel, to do as they do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that is something to look forward to. And it refers to the angels as sons of God in places throughout the scripture, just as it refers to us as sons of God. And this is important. It's I believe one of the things that we run into as people is we have a tendency to focus on the physical aspects of our existence as if what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is everything. And the fact is that this is just a manifestation of the spiritual realm that is in the process of being developed. You have to remember that when you were conceived in your mother's womb, that it took 9 months for you to develop to the point where you could be born and draw breath. And when you drew breath, you became that living soul, that living being. And then you started your existence on this planet for your 70 to 120 years here under the sun until you die or until Jesus Christ returns and you're changed. Then what happens, though, is when you are born and you're on this planet, what you're doing is you're spending this 70 to 120 years developing your spiritual being, your who you really are. You're developing your soul to go into eternity and to dwell in your permanent state as a son of God, as a child of the highest. And you will be in that place. So this time on earth is similar to the time that we spend in our mother's womb. That 9 months that we spend in our mother's womb, is a very small time related to the amount of life that most of us live on the planet. And what you see is that 9 months is preparing us for all that time on Earth. Well, all this time on Earth is preparing us for our time in heaven for eternity with our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And that is something to look forward to. But we have to have the Holy Spirit within us. So we have to become saved. We have to be introduced by somebody to Jesus Christ. And somebody has to tell us that when we turn away from serving sin, when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, when we believe in our heart that God raised His Son Jesus Christ from the dead, when we believe to speak in tongues and prophesy, that we are then sons of God. We are children of the highest. We are on our way to our permanent estate in heaven, being equal to the angels, right? We are in the process of becoming those permanent spiritual beings that are not going anywhere. So when you look at salvation as the beginning of your spiritual development for eternity, it affects the way that you live. It affects the way that you view the challenges that we face here on earth, because in everything that we endure, we're to give thanks to God. And we're to do that because we know we are not going through it alone. When God says He will not place more on you than you can bear, that is a promise from Him. It's because He can back it up. He can provide ministering angels to minister to you and to serve you so that you can fulfill His purposes in the earth. And we know that His primary purpose for each and every one of us is that we can reconcile the world back to Him. We can minister to others and draw them into the kingdom of God as we are ministered to. So it says that the Bible asks us to comfort others as we are comforted. We're comforted by the Holy Spirit, but then as we go throughout life, there are things that are attempting to attack us. There are things that are attempting to hinder us that we never experience, because God has His angelic host fighting these things off. God has His power at work containing those things that would otherwise come against us to hinder us. And anything that is allowed to get to us is only allowed to get to us for the purpose of developing us, for the purpose of perfecting us, so that as it says in Romans chapter 5, that we learn to glory in tribulation, because we know that tribulation worketh experience, and experience worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. See, we have to understand that anything that does impact us is impacting us so that we can become stronger, we can become better, we can become more aware of God's presence in our life. It's one thing to say that God has ministering angels all about you. However, when you go through some things in life, when you actually come under attack and you feel the presence of God and you see the effect of things that were that the devil tried to do, that he was not able to do. I remember last year I was working on this very interesting project as the architect designing this church. And as I'm turning, I was making this turn to into the property. And I was looking at the building at the same time. So I have to admit, I was not paying attention to the road. And this vehicle that was coming in the other direction would have not only wiped me out, but I had one of my children in the car on side of me. And I felt the effect of us not being allowed to be in the way of the path of that oncoming car, and that accident was averted. However, I know that we all find ourselves in life at times distracted. And when we're distracted, we have to understand that we have a God. We serve a God who is concerned about us and who is looking out for us when we are not looking out for ourselves. As a matter of fact, that might be a lesson all by itself, in that we are not to be necessarily looking out for our own interests at all times. When we trust God, one of the things that we see is that God is faithful. But one of the other things we see is we see how God actually works. And when you trust God, you begin to see the hand of his ministering angels. You begin to see how God uses other people in order to minister to you as you minister to others, so that you don't have to spend your whole life on the defense worrying about, oh, how am I going to protect myself? How am I going to preserve myself? How am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? And how am I going to... All you have to do is wake up, pray, receive God's grace, receive God's mercy, receive God's assignment for the day, and go do it. And make sure that as you're doing it, you are drawing all men to God by introducing them to his son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit in you, so that they can know they have access to that same power as well and can come into the kingdom of God just as you came into the kingdom of God. That's a powerful truth. That's something that you can understand and stand on and know that you are a child of God and you are never alone. You are never without power. You are never in a state where you are the victim. You are never the victim. You are a child of God. You are a son of the highest. So before we go to our first break, I want to encourage you to visit our websites, which pay for the powerful ministries of the Spirit Alive Network, the number one Christian network on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to encourage you to go to www.hiswordchristianbookstores.com, www.spiritalivemarketplace.com, www.blackauthorsmediagroup.com, and purchase as many of our wares and materials as possible, because they will enrich your spiritual growth and development, as well as sow into this ministry that continues to minister to others. So I'd like for you to enjoy this song by R. Kelly, You Save Me.
One day in the express lane, rolling on the freeway, and suddenly the phone rings. Then I reached down beside me, then I looked on the floor, felt on the back seat. See, I was drinking while I was driving, never thinking about what I was doing. I turned around, and before I knew it, here comes this truck now. The doctor said, I don't think he's gonna make it. Family said, make the funeral arrangements. Unplugged the machine, he's gone now. Then told my wife to be strong now. Then a small boy said, unto me, if you promise, don't stop drinking. Surrendered on that day. And now for 10 years I've been straight.
You saved me, oh, you saved me.
You saved me,
you saved me,
oh. In this chair, waiting on the phone to ring, praying up to God that someone would call me with a job opening. Cause it's been so hard for me, month to month, struggling to eat, but still there was no answer.
No answer.
I tried believing in his word and got so mad at him. And when somebody say God's good, I just laugh at him. Oh,
in a little time, it's blessing.
My great the phone ring. A lady said, we're hiring. That's when I knew
you saved me.
Yeah.
You saved me.
up with a gun at my waist, and for people I had no love. See, the streets were my home, and family and friends were gone. Had no one to trust, and deep inside I was all alone. And then I deal with that one day, and it was enough to cause me. I was shot 4 times, and before I knew it, I was on my knees.
My body, my heart
beats,
and what I'm gonna do, I don't think I'm gonna
live. Then I begin to flash back on the things I've done in my past.
And I'm
waiting
for what that's done to me. I'll give you peace if you believe.
I accepted Christ that day, hallelujah, now I'm free.
You saved me, you saved me.
A grocery store with a pain in my chest, and I'm wondering where did it come from.
I got tested
and the results came back, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, but you got cancer. I cannot believe it, so I called up my mama to calm my nerves. She got down on her knees. She said a prayer for me, to just keep on thanking Jesus. He'll give you all you need. That was 5 years ago. Don't have that pain no
thank
more.
Jesus.
God says you can go
home,
cause all your cancer is gone.
Let it
save
me.
Morning discussing the Bible and what it has to say about angels. Now, what you have to understand is that there are religions who pray to angels, and there are people who call upon angels, and that is not really what we're to do. We are to pray directly to God, and God is the one who sends forth those ministering spirits as they are needed, because they are going where we don't know they need to go. They are doing what we don't know they need to do. And he is the only one who is over. Actually, you know, those ministering spirits are there to do the job that must be done so that God's purposes can be fulfilled in the earth. Everything that is created is in relationship to God's Son, Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest portions of text in the Bible that explain the the relationship of angels to God and angels to us is in Hebrews chapter 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, what we're going to see is what God has to say about angels as it pertains to their relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his son, Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So this in Hebrews 1:4 says that Jesus Christ is much better than the angels, and he has obtained an inheritance, a more excellent name than the angels. And in verse 5 it says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? This is saying, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who make his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So this is the point. This is what angels are. In verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 1, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So before you were saved, you were in this category of those who will inherit salvation, right? And these angels, these ministering spirits, are sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And what we see, if we look back on our life, are those times before we were saved and the things that the devil tried to do in order to destroy us so that we would never get to that point where we actually attain salvation. So I look back on my life before I received the Holy Spirit when I was 9, and when I was 7, I was hit by a taxi cab, and this taxi cab knocked me to the other end of the block, and of course I had a broken kneecap and a broken thigh and broken pelvis and 6 broken ribs, and I'm pretty well busted up. But I know that the angels of God had me covered, because I lived through that, and God was able to heal me and restore me, and then 2 years later I was saved. But that did not stop the devil from trying to stop that salvation from occurring. However, the angels were ministering to me until I received salvation, right? It doesn't mean that they stopped ministering to us after we received salvation, but it says here clearly that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So angels are ministering spirits. And that is an important thing to understand. First, they minister to God, and then they minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's very powerful, very important to understand. And what you're going to see is that it's really, really key that we understand that angels have had a role in the Bible from the beginning until the end. Throughout the entire ministry, the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, angels were employed in order to speak to Mary and Joseph and to give them comfort. The angels were there to minister to Jesus Christ after he came out of the wilderness, out of the 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, right? After he was tempted by the devil, it said the angels ministered to him. And you see in the Garden of Gethsemane how the angels ministered to him. And we have to understand that angels have a large place in life and in ministry of Jesus Christ, and they have a place in the life and ministry of you and I. So it's important to understand that we're never going to be in a situation where we're alone. We're never going to be in a situation where we're without power, because God's staff, God's ministering angels are present, and there are things that we have no idea that they are doing that must be done. But as we go forth into the world, the more that we employ our ministry of reconciliation, the more that you're going to feel the effects of the power of angels, because you're going to need them. You're going to be increasing in fruitfulness. You're going to be increasing in your work. You're going to be increasing in your ministry. And you're going to need increased protection. You're going to need to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit in you. But then the more that you do is going to necessitate that God is doing more to allow you to increase in what you're doing, so that those that you draw into the kingdom of God can increase in number. Your work can be more effective. Your ministry of reconciliation can be more energized, and you can be more confident in the fact that you are never going to be in a situation where God is not going to provide for you a way out and a way through and a way to all that he has promised to you, all that he has ordained for you to fulfill. So I want you to really, really understand and really comprehend and just embrace the fact that God is working on your behalf at all times. Yes, he is using angels to do it, but there are those in the world who are looking for you. And God has created these angelic beings to make sure that you are able to get to them. So until you have reached everybody that you are supposed to reach, know that you will not be stopped. Be confident in all that you do, and understand that there are twice as many ministering spirits, twice as many angels serving God than are serving the devil. One third of the angels that were cast out of heaven and followed Lucifer into his fall and demise are nothing compared to two-thirds of the angels that serve God, twice as many. So there is no situation where you are going to be outnumbered, where you're going to be overwhelmed, where you're going to be overpowered, because those who are serving on your behalf are twice in number and twice in power, because they are empowered by God Almighty and not those who have set themselves against the purposes of God. So understand that you're in a place where you are going to be strengthened, you are going to be encouraged, and you are going to be empowered. Now I'd like for you to listen to what God has to say about you by Melody Pacina when it says, you are God's glory, God's beauty.
There are times in this life when you just can't see the beauty of what God has put inside of you.
Praise the Lord. That was You Are God's Beauty by Melody Pacina. And today we have a caller, our first caller ever. So let me see if I can get this correct and get this caller in. Hello, caller?
Yes.
We have a caller. Praise the Lord. Who would this be?
Vivian, caller from Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you?
I'm doing well.
That's outstanding. I'll tell you, you are the first caller ever on the Spirit Alive Ministries Tuesday morning teaching program. And I want you to state your name again.
Vivian.
Yes. It is such a blessing to have a caller. I am wondering, Vivian, what are some of your thoughts about angels in the Bible? What have you heard, or do you have anything to say about angels in the Bible?
I believe in their ministry. I do believe that they still work in our lives today. I believe a couple of years back that I had came had an encounter with one, but I do believe that they do work on the behalf of God. But I know a lot in ministry you hear people talk about how they command their angels to do certain things, but I always believe that it is God is the one that will send the angels to come and minister to us, and we cannot always command and have our angels to do stuff. So I believe in their ministry. I do believe they help us out in the meeting. Sometimes you hear people talk about that they can sense, you know, the angel, you know, around them, surrounding them.
Right.
But I have not
right.
had that like that before yet.
And Sister Vivian, you mentioned something that is so important, is to remember that the power of the Holy Spirit is what we call upon. That is the power that we call upon. The angels work for God.
Yeah.
So he knows what we need, but we're to be led and we're to be taught and we're to be comforted and instructed by the Holy Spirit, which transcends any angel, which goes directly to the throne of God. So if we go directly to the throne of God and we say, God, we need this. Well, God said before we even asked for it, he gave it to us. So he's already directed his angels, because you have to remember that God is omniscient. That means God is all-knowing. God is omnipotent. That means he's all-power. And God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. And so what he does is he sees our need. He has placed the desire in our hearts to call upon him. When we call upon him, he sends forth and he dispatches the angels or whoever else he needs to minister to us. And we have to understand that sometimes we are acting like angels in the earth when we are comforting others, when we are feeding someone with no food, when we're clothing someone with no clothes, when we are visiting someone who is in jail, when we are ministering to someone who is sick. All of these things are things that God is empowering us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says that when Jesus Christ returns, we read earlier, that when we are raised from the dead or when we're changed, if we live to see Christ return, then we are going to be like the angels. Sister Vivian, you are such a blessing calling in this morning, because I was really wondering what I, as a host of a program like this, your question to yourself is anybody listening? Is anybody really out there? Because I'm talking to my computer, essentially. I'm talking to my computer, so I really don't know, you know. But I just want to thank you so much for your call, and continue to pray for the Spirit Alive Network and for us to grow and to reach more and more people. And once again, when we know what the Bible has to say about things like angels, and that it says that they are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation, all of us can look at our life before we were saved and see how God kept us and see how God protected us and preserved us until we got to that place. And even when we fall out of fellowship and we find ourselves in a very dark and bad place where we might even do damage to ourselves, God has those angels to say, you know what, we're not going to, well, God's not going to let us undo his work. Because it says what God starts, he'll finish, right? That is how faithful he is. But then understanding that we are never outnumbered, in that there are twice as many angels serving God as are serving the devil. So just by numbers alone, they lose.
Amen.
You are such a blessing. Is there anything else that you have to say about angels in the Bible?
No. I was just enjoying what I was hearing so far from what you were speaking about, and how that God would just send them to help us and you know, to meet our, you know, some of our needs. And that's where I'm at a point in my life that, you know, praying that God will you know, send the ministry angels, and also for the angels of protection too, because I work in the prison system. I work in maximum security prison system, so I already know that God has his angels surrounding me in the prison, because I have never been hurt or assaulted. I mean, I've been assaulted by any inmate since I've been there for 28 years doing corrections. So I'm a witness to that as far as his protection and the angels are surrounding me. To the fact that one area where I worked in a mental health unit, the demons and those people that was in a mental health unit acted out because of my presence, and I knew then it was nothing but the Holy Ghost that they was afraid of that was in me. So, yes, I saw the manifestation of that also as well, and his protection around me when I'd be walking up and down the corridors and on the tiers, and when I'm surrounded by other inmates, so I know I am surrounded by his angels.
That is so powerful. And when you remember, and that is a great testimony, because it says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? So when we walk around, that's why we're not to walk around in doubt, worry, and fear, like we don't have power. When we know how much power we really have, then we walk forth boldly into areas where we would otherwise have a reason to be afraid. But when you stand on the promise of the word, which says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, then you walk like it, you talk like it, and you know that's real. It's real to you, and it becomes real to others, and then their question is, how can I have that same power? That's how we are ministering to others. I am just so blessed by your presence here this morning. You have been such a great blessing to me.
Amen.
Sister Vivian,
amen.
I really thank God for you, and continue to do your work, because there is so much need in the prisons, just like in the hospital. Just like in the schools. And actually, God has put his people in all areas of concern, interest, and need. And today, I understand we need to be praying for our government, because they seem to have tripped on themselves and taken themselves out of business for a minute. But you know what?
Amen.
This is a time when we're going to see God's hand, because the angels of God and God himself is transcending all of that chaos that the devil's trying to create. And God is going to bring something good out of the chaos. And he always does, especially for us, because these things don't stop us. They only empower us when we are looking for God's provision and his mighty hand. Thank you so much, Vivian. And I want you to have a great day. Bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye.
Well, today, that was a new level for the Tuesday morning teaching, and I just want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers and your continued support of God's work. When you know that God has appointed you, not somebody else, you, when God called you and chose you and placed his Holy Spirit within you to minister to someone else to draw them into the kingdom of God, that meant that all of the provision that you will ever need has been appointed and provided for you. You will never be without power. You will never be without God. You will never be without purpose. But you need to study God's word so that you know what God has done in the past, and you have an idea, and you are clear about what God is doing today, and you begin to understand what God is going to do in the future. And there are some things that we're going to talk about later on in the year that are really going to speak about the kingdom of God itself and all that he's created and what he is preparing us for. But right now, what we have to do while we're on earth is we have to walk in the fullness of who we are as sons of God, with fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit within us, operating in that power, so that when we know that we are speaking in tongues, we are interpreting tongues, we are prophesying, we are operating in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning spirits, we are performing supernatural acts of faith, we're performing miracles, and we're performing acts of healing, that we are doing God's work. And in our life, we want to produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And what is going to allow us to do that is us being able to stand on the promises of God. When you study God's word faithfully, God's word cleanses you, God's word empowers you, God's word strengthens you and reminds you of who you are. It is like looking in a mirror when you are reading God's word, because he's telling you who you are. He's telling you, you are my child, you have my power within you, you are a child of God, you are a son of God. And as we follow the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and as we are led by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to see all of God's purposes come to pass in our life. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up. You are greatly to be praised. And I just want you to continue to lead, guide, and direct your people in all truth these days, so that they know you are a present power and help in their life, and that there is nothing that they're going to experience that you cannot bring them through. There is nothing that will hinder your purposes in their life, and that they will draw others to you as you fulfill that desire that you've placed on their heart. I thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as always, from the team at the Spirit Alive Network and Tuesday Morning Teachings, Lester Carver, your host, be ye transformed. Have a great day.
I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the you.
well, that was because of Who You Are by Vicky Yohe. Now, I know that many of you probably thought that this episode, this class, this teaching on what the Bible has to say about angels was over. But today, we have a special treat. We have part two of our teaching on what the Bible has to say about angels. However, this is going to be in a special context because we're going to let the Bible speak for itself directly from the book of Jude. Now, we're going to read the entire book. Wow. But that sounds like a lot more than what it actually is. And at the same time, a lot less than what it actually is. Because these are real instructions. These are real directions to the body of Christ. And it actually tells us of roles that the angels played, and it tells us about authority, it tells us about structure, it tells us about what we are to be doing. And I'm going to read through this chapter in a way that is going to bless you. It is going to show you what God has for you to do and how God has set things up. So in Jude, the only chapter, it's a one-chapter book right before the book of Revelation. And what it says in verse 1 is, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord, God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those people who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. The words that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember these words. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in love and the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. This is a lot that Jude has to say about angels, about our life, about those who work against us, and about what God desires for us to do. So I want you to focus on building yourselves up on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in love. So speak in tongues at all times. You're building up your inner man when you are doing this. But then understand that those angels that did not keep their proper domain, they left their own abode, that God reserved them in chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. So those angels that caused all of this havoc, they wreaked havoc upon mankind. This is before the days of Noah. God put them in chains and reserved them there for the day of judgment. They are there until that time. And that's what it says here in Jude chapter 6. Or verse 6, I'm so sorry. But I want you to really, really understand that God has a purpose and an order. And also, when we look at this statement that it says in verse 9 of Michael, the archangel, contending with the devil for the body of Moses, dared not bring a reviling accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." This was at a time before Jesus Christ was born, before Jesus Christ was sent, before Jesus Christ was crucified, before Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, before Jesus Christ was seated at the right hand of God, before Jesus Christ was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. Remember who had dominion of the earth at this time. At this time when the archangel Michael was contending for the body of Moses, the one who had dominion of the earth was the devil, because he received it from Adam. But it said at that time, the archangel Michael dared not come against the devil, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." He didn't rebuke him, but the archangel Michael had a very high rank, right? Now, you have to understand that after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, the devil had a lesser standing than he had at this time. Now, the devil has no power, no authority, and all power and all authority has been given to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as a result of him being raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. And that is the ultimate merger, the ultimate consolidation of power, where God gave all power in heaven and earth and under the earth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So just remember that the fear that the archangel Michael had in contending with the devil, where he said, "The Lord rebuke you," we don't have that fear. We understand that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So we walk in that power and we walk in that authority. So I really hope that this follow-up to what we were discussing has blessed you. And we are led to walk in our position and to be bold, knowing that we are not walking alone, but we walk with the staff of God. And that staff of God are his heavenly hosts, his angels, that are encamped about us. And we never have to be in fear or lacking in anything that we do, lacking any confidence, because all that we have, all that we need, we have. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for it not going forth in vain. I thank you for it having its desired effect on all who hear it. And I thank you for you being glorified in all that we do today, God. Father, I thank you for your ministering spirits, God. I thank you for your purposes being fulfilled today. And I thank you for your word having its effect in our lives as we trust in you, as we lean on you, as we rely on you, and as we operate in absolute faith, knowing that you never fail. Father, I thank you for today. And I thank you for all that you're doing for us today and all that we're going to do for you today. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and Tuesday Morning Teachings with your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.